Welcome to the Trending Show. Now here is your host, Mike Quackenbush.
Well, let's get all caught up, loyal trendies. This miniature-sized version of the podcast is made possible thanks to long-standing show sponsor, Cobra Electronics, and by great listeners just like you. Although, when I asked our provider if I could pay for the last 90 days of bandwidth with 5-star reviews in iTunes, they did make it clear to me that they preferred the kind of sponsorship arrangement we have with Cobra. I like the 5-star reviews, people. I appreciate what you write in iTunes about this show, so long as it is really positive and not sarcastic. On Wednesday, March 5th, the top trending topic was Lil Boozy, which is the name of a smuggler character on Disney's Jake and the Neverland Pirates. Lil Boozy tries to smuggle contraband into the Louisiana State Penitentiary and ends up with a real wrist slapping from Captain Hook. His release from prison excited people more than anything else on Wednesday. How was Ash Wednesday not trending on Ash Wednesday? That doesn't make sense to me. Also trending on Wednesday was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which returned from a month-long hiatus with a new episode featuring guest star Bill Paxton. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is one of three TV shows I attempt to watch. The others also begin with A. For a while now, I have wanted to really like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I couldn't. Something about it, hard to articulate. But this two-parter with the cliffhanger where Sky gets shot, all right, now we're cooking. I want to see what's next. You've got me hooked, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think I've got it. The main protagonist of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is Phil Coulson, and I like that character. The main protagonist on Almost Human is John Kinnex, and I like the way Carl Urban brings him to life. The main protagonist on Arrow is Oliver Queen, and I do not like this Oliver Queen. Satellite-era JLA Oliver Queen, this is not. You make me miss Justin Hartley, Stephen Amell. They could kill you off and rename the show Felicity and Diggle, and I would be unaffected by this change. Mexico versus Nigeria was also trending on Wednesday, and not for the title of country where I would least like to be abducted, but because of the World Cup. That's a soccer thing. The Nigerian team came into the matchup riding high on their recent victory at the African Cup, while Mexico was not to be outdone. They finished first in the Mexico Cup. Unfortunately, Mexico also came in last at the Mexico Cup. Thursday's top and strangest story was that of Brandon Howard, the boy believed to be the subject of the 1982 Billie Jean lyric, "The Kid Is Not My Son." Brandon Howard is the son of Mickey Howard, an R&B singer. Mickey Howard was represented throughout part of her singing career by Michael Jackson's extra scary dad, Joe Jackson. Joe Jackson is not the same Joe Jackson that sings Steppin' Out. Brandon Howard has always thought to be the son of Augie Johnson, a most unfortunate name. A source is claiming that the father is actually Joe Jackson. A DNA test revealed this week, which has come under considerable scrutiny, I'd like to add, says that Michael Jackson is the father. This is all very confusing. I don't see how anyone could ever sort this whole thing out. And I don't want to antagonize the situation here. So, at Mickey Howard Live, Mickey, by the way, is M-I-K-I, if you want to follow, Mickey Howard Live does seem to be the actual Twitter account of Brandon's mother. I'm just going to keep watching that in case she stops retweeting Oprah and chooses to reveal something on her Twitter here. I think Twitter is probably where this story will break. Well, nothing yet. Continued coverage of this event, courtesy your friends here at The Trending Show. Liz Wall, who, along with the rest of her family, escaped Soviet rule in Hungary back when that was still a thing, was the anchorwoman on Russia Today. And let's all pretend that we know what that is. She was, until Thursday, when she resigned live on the air. Liz said, quote, "Personally, I cannot be part of a network funded by the Russian government that whitewashes the actions of Putin. I'm proud to be an American and believe in disseminating the truth, and that is why, after this newscast, I'm resigning." End of quote. She went on to tell the Daily Beast that her editorial independence had been repeatedly compromised by her superiors and that employees at Russia Today who deviated from the Russian government's narrative were punished. This immediately made me picture Vladimir Putin in a black shirt with a white skull painted on it with two blazing machine guns. The day before Liz resigned, another journalist working for the network made headlines when she went off script to denounce Russia's military presence in Crimea. Crimea is an autonomous republic in the southeastern part of the Ukraine, which I think flows better than just Ukraine. I also think Crimea was an early X-Men villain from when Havok and Polaris came on the team, but I could not find evidence of this on Wikipedia. Anyway, Abby Martin was critical of Russia's military intervention in Crimea, saying on the air that she feels military action is never the answer. Immediately thereafter, Russia Today released this real statement, quote, "We respect her views and the views of all our journalists, presenters, and program hosts, and there will be absolutely no reprimands made against Ms. Martin." In her comment, Ms. Martin also noted that she does not possess a deep knowledge of reality of the situation in Crimea. As such, we'll be sending her to Crimea to give her an opportunity to make up her own mind from the epicenter of the story, end quote. Did you catch that? They're shipping her there. Ah, Russia. You are redefining the phrase, giving me the creeps, week in and week out. Oh, an update on our continuing coverage of Mickey Howard's Twitter account. Mickey has retweeted at Flirty Words. Retweet if you miss someone right now. It's like a total giveaway, right? It's Augie. Augie Johnson is the father. It seems very clear-cut based on that. On Thursday, Bindi Irwin was trending. She's the daughter of the late crocodile hunter Steve Irwin, that lovable scamp from Down Under. For our younger trendies, you'll recall he was the brown wiggle. Bindi Irwin was trending because she is teaming up with SeaWorld theme parks, and the backlash was on. Public sentiment towards SeaWorld has soured considerably since the release of the 2013 documentary Blackfish, where a woman lures a man to her house by misrepresenting herself during their online relationship. First up here, Bindi Irwin's 15 years old. Let's not eviscerate her in all forms of media until she does something really dumb, okay? Like at least Lindsay Lohan-level dumb. To Bindi, these people trying to light you up on Twitter and such with hate-filled comments, you have my permission to dropkick any or all of them. Just go for it. You have to cope with what happened to your father and with being Australian for the rest of your life. So start throwing some dropkicks. Next. This is a real quotation from the summary of the documentary Blackfish. Quote, "The coverage of Tilikum, a killer whale, includes his capture in 1983 off the coast of Iceland and purported harassment by fellow captive whales at Sealand." End of quote. Purported harassment by fellow captive whales? I don't even know what to say there. Who typed that without stopping to laugh at least twice? Listen, Steve Irwin loved animals, he loved nature, and he loved his family. He lived his short life to the fullest, but even Steve made a few mistakes. I remember an episode of Crocodile Hunter where he's bit by a venomous snake and then rushed to a hospital for antivenom before he died. And in case you forgot, the fearless Steve Irwin was eventually killed by a stingray when he was snorkeling at the Great Barrier Reef. Whether his daughter is making some blunder by working with SeaWorld or not remains to be seen. The Irwins aren't perfect. The same as all other human beings on this planet, including those people taking to social media to blast this poor girl and tell her she's disgracing her father's memory. Are your lives so perfect that you're positioned such to pass judgment on this teenage girl? There are thoughts of the type that need to remain locked inside people's heads forever. And tragically, some people seem to think that social media platforms are the right place to air out their mental stench. Some lack common sense or good judgment or even common courtesy. And that's before we talk about the people with all manner of social ineptitudes or those that are somewhat deranged. And then, of course, there are the downright stupid. Plus, you have to contend with those so dense they can't tell fact from fiction or opinion, are unable to detect sarcasm, and will liberally infer things that have not been implied. Currently, Twitter seems to have no filters in place for these people. If only we could confine the dumb ones to Twitter and spare the rest of us. Until then, any of these types can just at mention you and send the first damaged half-thought that pops into their misfiring brains off to your stream or to 15-year-old Bindi Irwin or anyone else they think needs some stench on them. Bindi, I hope you have some of your father's fearless spirit in you. He had a zeal for life and a spark in him that was on plain display every time I ever saw him cross my screen. Each time we checked in with Steve, he looked like he was having the time of his life, even when danger seemed to lurk under every rock or in every tree. And if you can live your life with that kind of zeal, you will make your dad proud. The keyboard clowns that will one day be relegated to Twitter aren't worth the time it takes you to read their 140 characters. Oh, quick update here on our continuing coverage of Mickey Howard's Twitter account. Check out Mickey Howard's new single, Panther. Oh, Michael Jackson turns into a panther at the end of the Black or White video. I can see the connection here. This program is brought to you by Cobra Electronics. Their brand new HH450 dual marine radio is a floating, waterproof, all-terrain radio for year-round use. It's rugged and compact, and it includes Cobra's exclusive Rewind Say Again feature. The radio features selectable options between low, medium, and high power. That's for short and for long-range communication, plus access to weather alerts. The unit also has a noise-canceling microphone for crystal-clear conversations. The Cobra HH450 Dual Marine Radio is available right now. And when you visit Cobra.com, just look in the VHF radio section, where you'll see it is marked down $20 this week. Friday's biggest story was the disappearance of Malaysia Airlines Flight 370. And it's too soon for me to start with the lost references, so I'll stick to the facts as of the time I'm recording. The jet, carrying 227 passengers and 12 crew members, lost contact with air traffic control after departing Kuala Lumpur and has not been located. Given how long the craft has been missing, it would have long since run out of fuel, and it seems reasonable to assume that it has crashed. The navies of several countries and rescue teams from several more are working to locate the presumed wreckage of the flight, as there is currently no concrete information regarding Flight 370's whereabouts. An alarming detail has come to light over the last 36 hours. The two passengers boarded the flight using stolen passports, one stolen from an Italian and one from an Austrian. These passports were stolen over the last 2 years. Both had been reported as stolen and were listed in the international database as such, and the two people using these stolen passports bought their tickets together and seemed to have boarded the flight together as well. 300 Rise of an Empire was trending on Friday, too. That's the sequel to 300, which just hit theaters, and while earning mixed reviews overall, critics seem infatuated with the performance by Ava Green, the former Bond girl who plays Artemisia in the film. Shalom Life voted Ava number 2 on their list of the 50 most talented Jewish women in the world, and who are we to argue with the editorial suite of Shalom Life? Both Women's Day 2014 and International Women's Day 2014 were trending on Friday. That is the one day each year put aside to remember that there are women. Just that one day. This year's theme for Women's Day was inspiring change. And no country is taking that as seriously as Great Britain, where, according to The Guardian, male presenters are to be banished from BBC Radio 1 for 39 hours this weekend to celebrate International Women's Day. First, I'd like to congratulate the British for expanding International Women's Day from 24 hours to 39 hours. When I first started research for this episode, I had this overwhelming feeling that 24 hours to celebrate and acknowledge that 49% of the global population was not adequate. But when I heard that BBC Radio 1 had added an additional 15 hours of acknowledgement to the festivities, I felt satisfied. Rest of the planet, 24 hours is an insult to all our mothers and grandmothers, wives and sisters, daughters and granddaughters. 39 hours is the new gold standard when it comes to celebrating all the wonderful things in this world that we have due to the Wonder Women that are not just heads of industry or leaders of nations or Judge Judy, but for the unsung female heroines of everyday life, from the caregiver to the homemaker. To limit this celebration to just 24 hours undervalues all their contributions, all their accomplishments, and all the advancements in our world that came from the indomitable spirit and hard work of trailblazing, intrepid, dignified women. An update on our continuing coverage of Mickey Howard's Twitter account. Mickey has just tweeted this to her thousands of followers, quote, "You ever just want to kiss someone in the mouth that you shouldn't? Yummy." End quote. I don't feel any closer to solving the mystery of Brendan Howard's paternity, so I think we're going to discontinue this coverage now. The smallest trend to still make the list on Friday was Philip Phillips, which I immediately assumed was an independent professional wrestler possessed of the same creative energy as Mike Michaels, Andy Anderson, Danny Daniels, Jeff Jefferson, and Steve Stevens. Yeah, I've been on cards with all five of them. But no, Philip Phillips is not a professional wrestler, and even worse, that is his real legal name. And his father is Philip Phillips Sr. So that guy had a good chunk of life to think about what name he might give his future progeny, and he still went with Philip Phillips. In exchange for the pain and suffering he no doubt endured growing up with that name, he was crowned American Idol in 2012 and took his winnings to get a new kidney made for himself, apparently not thinking about the fees for changing your legal name. Philip Phillips Jr. was trending on Friday as his new single hit big. It's called Raging Fire. Kind of sounds like Mumford & Sons crossed with Dave Matthews Band. I kind of like it. Well, I have a date with a hot cup of tea that I can't be late for, so I'm out of here. But I'll drag myself to the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe later this week just for you. Until then, adios, amigos.